Matt prayed, saying that he couldn't wait to see what God's going to do through us in this week to come. The worship team, Keith, sang, "I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God." So powerful. What a great way to start our new series. Our series on facing our fears. Facing our fears. Fear is it's a feeling, isn't it? A feeling of dread. That there's something that needs to be avoided, something to react toward, something to elude or escape from, right? It's an emotion. And it's meant to prompt protective or survivalist behavior. Now understand, fear is a good and valuable faculty of life. It's part of God's design of us in creation. But unfortunately, like any good thing in life, fear can easily be distorted and abused. We live in a twisted and fallen world. Fear was never meant to control, to define, or to stymie us in life. But it does just that in many people's lives. Do you know people who are stymied in life, or one aspect of their life or another, by fear? I certainly do. So many people, possibly some among us even here this morning, suffer diminished lives because of fear. And the promised abundant life that Jesus offers is out of their reach. That's sad, isn't it? It's a sad fact. This morning we want to speak specifically about the fear of inadequacy. It's a very real fear, isn't it? To be afraid of our inadequacies. How does it happen? Well, as I said, we live in a twisted and corrupted, fallen world. When I go to the market and I want to buy some apples, you know what I do? I look at those apples that are piled there on the shelf for the biggest, the best, the brightest apple that I can find. The apple that doesn't have any flaw about it at all. No bruises whatsoever. The perfect apple. That's what I do. Because I want the best, the brightest, the biggest. That's what I want. And that's just sort of indicative of our way of thinking, isn't it? About everything. Last man standing. What image comes to your mind? Probably the image of a victor, right? Conquered all foes, and there he is. When I think of last man standing, you know what occurs to me? My mind goes back to that time when I was in junior high school, and the leaders were picking their teams, and I was the last man standing. Because of my inadequacies. You know, I wasn't 7 feet tall. I did play in the church basketball league. I kept the bench warm for them. So when the guys were done playing, you know, they didn't have to sit on a cold bench. We think that we need to be good, capable, maybe even the best, at everything, don't we? And that's just not, that's not reality. Because that's not the way God made us. That isn't how God made us at all. God made every one of us good at some things, but not any of us, like it or not, hear it now, deal with it, good at everything. I had a wonderful conversation with my 11-year-old granddaughter. We were driving somewhere, and I asked her, I said, how are things going at school? And she said, oh, Chief, I'm not doing really well at math at all. And I said, oh, Patie, that's my fault. You got my genes. That's the way it is. Honey, you're good at some things, and she is good at some things. But you're not good at everything, and I think that's the way God made it, so that we could build community and we could learn to rely upon one another. And where I'm not good and you are, I can get the help that I need from you. And where you're not so good and I am, you can get the help from me. We can build community that way. I think that's how God has made us, to learn how to be interdependent. But in our fallen and twisted world, we insist upon independence, right? And I got to be good, best at everything. And I don't like the fact that I have inadequacies. That fear of inadequacy means that, well, I'm not going to try new things. I'm not going to step outside of my comfort zone. I'm not going to grow. I'll just remain stifled, stagnant, where I am, and that's okay. How many of us draw that conclusion because we're afraid that our inadequacy will be exposed and we'll be embarrassed, or we'll be worse off than when we began? I'll just be more familiar with my failures than anything else. So I'm not going to try. I'm not going to press on. Friends, I want you to hear this morning, the only way to face this fear is not by courage. That's not the answer. It's by faith. The faith that God gives us in Jesus Christ. Do you have faith in Jesus Christ this morning? You're going to need it if you're going to face the fear of your inadequacy. And I believe that Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 1, verses 26 through 31, teaches us something about inadequacy. Some important things about inadequacy. So let's just read it here, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning with verse 26. Follow along if you will. Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. I think this passage teaches us that our inadequacy needn't sideline us. I think it teaches us that God can use us to serve his marvelous purposes despite our inadequacies. I think it teaches us that God does something in us as we respond to him in the face of inadequacy. If we don't let fear prevent it from happening. The Corinthians were a proud and capable and progressive and advanced people in their day. They were cultured and wealthy. They were leaders in the arts and in religion. As a matter of fact, there were 12 temples in Corinth. The most prominent, of course, was the temple to Aphrodite, the goddess of love. They were leaders in philosophy and commerce. They were sort of the elite people of the day, the inn folks, you might say. And it was in this sort of society that Paul brought the simple, life-giving message of the gospel. The gospel, which is that we are all sinners. Every one of us have fallen short of the glory of God. And therefore we're spiritually dead in our sin. But God loves us so much that he sent Jesus into our world, this fallen, twisted, corrupted world. And Jesus came to save us from our sin and to give us an abundant life. Not just life, but an abundant life. I am come, Jesus said, that you might have life and have it abundantly. Are you enjoying an abundant life today? Can you say that? Or is your life diminished by fear? Maybe fear of your own inadequacy in one area or another. You can imagine how inadequate these believers, these initial followers of Jesus, felt in the face of such sophisticated, developed thinking and lifestyle around them. What can we say to these people? They seem to have it all together. They seem to just be enjoying life. Why would they listen to what we've got to say about being sinners, about Jesus' love for them, about an abundant life that can only be found in him? That's our simple message. Will they accept it? Surely they must have felt inadequate. And Paul says, not many of you. Do you see? Not many. Now, he doesn't say not any. There's an M there. Do you see? You see the M? Not many of you were wise, were in fact influential, noble. Not many of you. Some of you were. God chooses people however he deems. And he chooses people from all varieties of life. But not many of you were wise, influential, noble, like the greater part of Corinthian society. That means the rest of you, most of you, were in fact, what? Foolish, weak, lowly, nothing really. That's who you were when you were called. Inadequate? I guess you could say that, huh? But God chose you. Do you see that? God chose you to shame and confound, to nullify the wise, the influential, and the noble thinkers, the shakers and the movers of their day. And because of that, the gospel took hold in Corinth. And people were freed from their fallacy about what's important in life. and about the true and the living God that was known as Jesus. Because the inadequate people responded to God. How did that happen? Well, it happened because God spoke to people who felt inadequate and maybe even had fears with regard to their inadequacy. But despite those fears, they responded to Him. They responded to Him. It happened because God, frankly, has got a very different perspective on our inadequacy than we do. His perspective isn't the same. For us, our inadequacy looms large in our minds, but not in God's. Our inadequacies don't even factor with God when He considers our intrinsic value to Him. He loves us just as we are. Do you hear that? You might not feel like much, but He loves you just as you are. You might feel like you have blown life, like you have just been a miserable person. But I want you to know, God loves you just as you are. Do you need to change? Maybe, but not because it'll earn you God's love. He loves you just the way you are. And if you need to change, He'll help you change. But He loves you just the way you are. In God's perspective, our inadequacy has little or nothing to do with His choices for our lives. There's examples replete in the scriptures about this. Let me just share a few with you if I could. There's this fellow named Moses. And we look back in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 11. And God said to Moses, "Moses, I want you to go to Pharaoh and I want you to tell Pharaoh, free my people." And Moses responds, what? He says, "Who am I? Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? I'm a failure. I had an opportunity to help my people. I was in a place of influence, and I blew it. I blew it big time. I had to run scared out of Egypt. Besides, I stutter." And God said, "I will go with you. I will go with you." He didn't listen to Moses' excuses, Moses' reasons, Moses' fear. He heard beyond Moses' fears of inadequacy. Then there's this guy by the name of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. And God said to Jeremiah, "I appointed you to be a prophet to the nations." And Jeremiah responded, "You're mixed up here, God, because I am only a child, and I don't know how to speak." God said, "I will put my words in your mouth. I will put my words in your mouth. I've got something I want you to do, and I know you don't feel adequate, and I know you're afraid to even consider doing what I'm asking you to do. But I will put my words in your mouth, and it will happen." And then we go to the New Testament, and we see this group of guys referred to as Jesus' disciples. And Jesus is preaching, and it's getting nigh on to lunchtime. It's sort of like Pastor Ron when he's preaching, and you know, it's getting nigh onto lunchtime. And Jesus turned to those disciples, and this is what he said. He said, "You give them something to eat." Luke chapter 9, verses 10 through 17. "You give them something to eat." Well, them wasn't just a little gathering of folks in a small group. Them was 5,000 plus people. It was the multitudes. And the disciples looked at Jesus, and it's not recorded, but they had to have said to him, "You got to be kidding. Look at what we've got. We've got 5 loaves of bread and 2 smelly fish, which means they weren't fresh. Because if fish smell, doesn't mean it means they're not fresh, right? We have 2 fish, 5 loaves. And we're supposed to feed more than 5,000 people. Jesus, come on." And Jesus provided the meal. Jesus provided more than enough. There were leftovers. But only when the disciples said, "Okay, we give you our limited resources, our inadequacy. Do with our inadequacy what you will, Jesus." Here we are, we're prepared to serve, but we don't have enough. So we don't know what we're going to do. Dear ones, God delights. Do you hear this? I want you to hear this. This is God's perspective about our inadequacies. God delights in our inadequacy, because it's only in our inadequacy that he gets the glory that he rightfully deserves. Inadequacy is not as big and bad a thing as we want to imagine it. We don't need to fear our inadequacy. That isn't necessary if we have God's perspective about it. Now you've got to hear this. It's not just relevant to religious stuff. We're in church, so we talk about religious stuff, right? But let's talk about beyond the walls of the church here. Let's talk about Monday through Saturday. It's not just about religious stuff that our inadequacies are a concern to us and loom large in our life and give us a fear. It's not just in religious life. It's beyond that. In the same letter here, a little bit later on, chapter 10 and verse 31, this is what Paul said to the Corinthians. He said, "So whatever you do, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all. Do it all for my glory, for the glory of God." So you see how it goes beyond the religious life? God is interested in us facing our fear of inadequacy at every point, in every aspect of our lives. Some people fear, because of their inadequacy, becoming a parent. I have a dear son who is really fearful about becoming a parent. Can I raise a child in this world? Can I meet a child's needs? I really don't know that I'm capable of doing that. Maybe some of you think that way. Or being a parent. Can I help a young, precious life through this crisis that this little person is going through right now in a manner that causes him or her to be more healthy because of the counsel and the help that I've given them? Can I do that? I don't feel adequate to do it. Some people fear taking a promotion at work. I can't do that. I can't take on those sort of responsibilities. Some people fear taking a new job. Well, I wouldn't know what to do. I wouldn't know where to begin. Some people fear getting married. Some people fear that they're not smart enough to take a class that's being offered. Well, I'd feel stupid. Some people fear being spiritually mature enough to disciple another person, to come alongside of someone and have a relationship with that person whereby we could earn the right to give counsel spiritually and help them to maybe proceed to the next step in their own spiritual journey. Some people fear being athletic enough to try out for the team at school. Some people fear being dramatic enough to try out for the play. Some people fear being sociable enough to fit with friends. Some people don't fear enough. Others fear far too much. Some fear having what it takes to volunteer for a ministry in our church. That hurts. Not just the individual, not just you, but our church. And I can tell you, the worship team needs people. Keith ought not to be expected to carry the responsibility of leading us in worship on his shoulders alone. We're in desperate need of somebody to help in that AV corner over there. And some of you have got some skill in that area, though you don't feel adequate. And then there's the building and grounds people. I mean, we walked in here on clear walkways this morning. But we can't expect them to, in fact, carry the whole burden of our grounds and our facilities. We'll weary them. So we can't let our fears keep us from volunteering. Our fear of being inadequate, not equal to the task. That doesn't honor God. We don't grow if we don't get involved. And there ought to be no church in the kingdom, no church in the kingdom whatsoever that has a shortage of personnel to help in the areas that are necessary. Time and time again, it's fear of inadequacy that holds us back, keeps us down, defeats us. But it's those inadequacies, interestingly enough, in God's perspective, that he targets to bring glory to himself and grow and cultivate our spiritual lives. So when a God-given opportunity intersects with our inadequacy, our fear of inadequacy, what do we do? What do we do? Well, I want you to face the fear. And let me give you some suggestions about how that might happen. The first is this: embrace your inadequacy. Accept it. Don't deny it. Don't regret it. Don't fear it. Embrace it. I know I'm limited in my capacities. I know that my capabilities are not perhaps what someone else's are. I understand that. I appreciate that. I embrace my inadequacies. But it's not enough for me to embrace my inadequacies. I need to add to that I embrace his sufficiency. You see? I've got to embrace the sufficiency of Christ. He is sufficient. Didn't Paul say to the Philippians, I can do all things what? Through Christ. Through Christ. In Christ, I can do all things. Philippians 4:13. You see, in every instance that we cited, God met the need and made the unimaginable happen. Why is there an unimaginable? It's because of our fear of inadequacy. If we didn't have this fear of inadequacy and it didn't control us, it didn't stifle us, it didn't defeat us, then there wouldn't be an unimaginable. All things would be possible in Christ. He went with Moses. He put his words in Jeremiah's mouth. He supplied more than enough bread and fish for the disciples to feed the multitudes. And that's what Paul said when he wrote his second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 9 and verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound to you so that in all things, at all times, having all you need, you will abound in every good work. God doesn't give us opportunity without supplying the need to fulfill that opportunity. So embrace our inadequacy and His sufficiency. Secondly, discern. Is this a God-given opportunity or not? Will it honor Him? We need to think these questions through. Will I grow spiritually through a necessary reliance upon Him if I do this? Answer those questions to discern whether this is a God-given opportunity that lies ahead of you. And thirdly, what's your willingness? Assess your willingness. Focus not on feelings, but on what God has spoken to you. Sublimate the feelings. I don't want to do this. I can't. Don't let the feelings dictate your decision making. And finally, trust God. Remember, in every instance, He's present with us. He supplies our needs to do the work He's called us to do, to enter into that experience of life that He wants us to enter into, to broaden us, to expand our living. He equips us. He, in fact, is the source of our competence. In that second letter of Corinthians again, Paul says this in the third chapter, verses 4 and 5. Such confidence as this is ours through Christ before God. Not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God. That's where our competence comes from. It comes from God in Christ. So let's face the fear of inadequacy. Let's try new things. Let's venture to new, expanded living. Abundant life, as Jesus referred to it. Is there a life decision to be made in the face of inadequacy? Is there a ministry that awaits you stepping forward? Only you can answer. Is there a God-given opportunity? If there is, and you're fearful, embrace your inadequacy and Jesus' sufficiency. Discern that this is a God-given opportunity. Assess your willingness and determine to trust Him and move forward. You know, you and I are merely instruments. And this is freeing. We're merely instruments God uses to make life beautiful. Let me share with you an illustration here about the master and the violin. a renowned violinist, announced before a concert that he would play one of the world's most expensive violins. His first composition was played flawlessly, and the audience was thrilled at the performance. After taking his bows, he suddenly smashed the instrument, completely demolishing it. The audience was horrified. That is until the violinist explained that he had been playing a cheap violin. Then, picking up the expensive instrument, the virtuoso began to draw the bow across the strings. The sound was beautiful, but most of the people couldn't tell any difference between the music from the expensive violin and the cheap one. The quality of the instrument was secondary to the skill of the violinist. It's something like that in our lives. The Apostle Paul said that God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. Like that cheap violin, we, you and me, we can be instruments in the Master's hands to magnify the Lord and bring blessing to others. But we have to face the fear of our inadequacies. Let's pray.